It is now my great pleasure to invite Charmaine to come on in and share with us. Thank you, Charmaine.
Thank you so much, Mary Joy, and thank you, Judy, for asking me to share today. And welcome everyone, whether you're a newcomer or a regular attendee, whether you're in relapse or haven't found recovery yet, just wanted to say welcome to you. I have taken a bit of time with my higher power to just ask for guidance in what to share today. I also, interestingly, I'm leading a meeting with the folks on Tradition 12 today, and it's hilarious because that's like my least favorite tradition. I'm Charmaine, compulsive eater. I'll say that first. Restrictor, binger. I love there's someone on the meeting that sometimes says I've done extremely unhealthy things with healthy food or something like that. I could relate to that. Orthorexic, anorexic, bulimic, also binger, overeater, emotional eater, and everything in between. So and my weight journey, I've fluctuated between 100 pounds and 200 pounds. Multiple times, and interestingly, the scariest wasn't either of those extremes. It was right in the middle when I just didn't know how to put the food down. And I actually gave a shit and wanted to put it down. So that's why it was the scariest, because at the lowest point, I didn't care about my life anymore. I didn't want to be here anymore when I was anorexic. And when I was at the highest point, interestingly, I didn't really care either. So, anyways, Tradition 12 says anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all the traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I never understood this tradition. I've been in OA since November 2024, so a year and a half, almost, yeah, a year and a half. I don't want to say a sparkling recovery because there was ups and downs, but I had recovery since November 2024. And then I relapsed in July of 2025. And I spent July, August, September, October, November, December in a horrific relapse, as the disease people say, or the big book says, it's a progressive illness. It really was. I remember eating a handful of something in July, and by December I was eating bags of it and I couldn't stop. And I'm a chew and spitter also, so sometimes I would chew the food and then spit it out, which kind of sounded like a good solution, but it's so disgusting to have bags of chewed up, spit up food around. And it's also a lot of shame because it's so wasteful. And I guess it's a form of bulimia. I didn't really know that until I came to OA. I just thought it was an interesting solution to wanting to have something sweet in my mouth and not have to gain weight because growing up, it was modeled for me that being overweight was really not okay by someone important in my life. So I had that subconscious or very conscious or mix of conscious and subconscious modeling that if you were overweight, you wouldn't be as lovable. And that really affected my life, as I'm sure a lot of you maybe can relate. I wanted to just be loved because I was a kid and every kid wants to be loved. But I learned from a young age that I would get more love if I looked a certain way. And now that I have kids, I'm like, all they want is unconditional love. And the second I tell them they've done something that's not great, the shame that I see on their faces is just devastating. And I try to really say to them, it's not, you made a mistake, you're not a mistake. What you did was bad, but you're not bad. And I try so hard to do that. And it doesn't matter because they just want to be loved and they want to do things right. And I know it's a dance for me as a mom because I didn't grow up with any of that. I grew up with shame and My dad would swear at me if I dropped something when I was a little girl. And it was just like, I still, when I make a mistake, when I drop something in the kitchen, I hear his voice. He would say a curse and then just like, why can't you get your shit together, basically. And I've done that to my own kids, I'll be honest, because I don't want to clean their mess up. And I'm tired and I'm frustrated and I don't want to, I have to clean my own messes up. I don't want to also now clean my kids' mess. And I really don't want to teach them how to clean it up because that's even more work, as many of you who are parents know. So I understand. I don't want to rationalize my dad's behavior, but he's a sick man. I'm a sick woman. We're all just sick, broken people trying to make our way in the world. So I can see now, and I don't rationalize how he behaved or how he raised me, but I can see why he swore at me when I made a mistake, because that's how his dad did it to him. And I want to break that chain, and I'm working on breaking that chain, that generational chain of just like, you can't make a mistake. Because if you make a mistake, you are a mistake. And that was how I was raised. But anyways, coming back to tradition 12, I always thought, ugh, anonymity, it's so boring. And I just thought it meant, I'm not going to tell you my full name for whatever reason. And then also, I can't impress in whatever. I can't be like, I'm Charmaine, blah, 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 and I love away. I can't do that on the news or something. I'm like, all right, I don't get it, but sure. If it's such a great program, why can't we sing it from the rooftops? I didn't understand that. I still don't totally understand that. And then I obviously know about confidentiality, like what you see here, when you leave here, let it stay here. I like that. I respect that. I don't go talk about what you shared on the meeting to my husband or friends. But I did some digging because I'm like, ugh, I don't want to run a meeting about Tradition 12. There's nothing to say. But long story short, I won't talk too much about this because it is kind of boring. But I watched, found a really cool video about how to honor Tradition 12 in your recovery. And it said, stay humble. No one person in OA is more important than the message of recovery. And that's the whole principles before personalities. It said, put the message first. Share your experience to help others, not to seek fame or recognition. And that really struck me because I've been an affirmation addict my whole life. I want you to all think I'm cool. I want you to all think my message was awesome today. I want you to all like me. But that's not what this is about. This is about putting the message first, talking about how the 12 steps changed my life, talking about how being in the fellowship changed my life, talking about how developing a relationship with my higher power changed my life, talking about how using the tools of recovery helped me get out of the massive suffering I was in. And maybe that's how, maybe there's someone on this meeting that goes, oh, if she could do it, maybe I could do it. And that's the point of me sharing my story. So anyways, it said to avoid personal agendas, keep OA about recovery, not about your individual influence, live the principles of honesty, humility, and service before self-promotion, etc. So it went on and on about that. And I'm like, okay, yes, God, I get it. I fucking get it. I have a huge ego. I want to come here and tell you all my credentials and how I'm so cool and why I'm a badass. And I'm like, God's like, nope, that's not what we're doing today, babe. So what we're doing today is talking about body acceptance is what I have been guided to by my higher power, who I call God. And so that's the part of my story I'll talk about. And so I shared a little bit about that because when I was a kid, I picked up many messages that being overweight was not okay. And I'll just be honest, from my father and his side of the family. Little comments from uncles, comments from my dad. I won't say them because they're just rude and derogatory. And my mother was a very slim woman when she was younger. And then she d got major depression, probably because of my dad. Just joking. He got major depression, spent a lot of time in her bed. She struggled with her weight, like, did a lot of programs, pay and ways, trying to manage that. She was an exercise bulimic. As soon as she would eat something, she would force herself to go for a walk and put weights on her legs. And I remember as a little kid being like, "What are you doing? That doesn't look fun. Like, why are you doing that? Putting ankle weights on and like trudging up and down the hill by her house? I'm like, that doesn't look cool or fun at all." And I thought, I'll never be like that. I'll never do that. Guess what? I repeated her pattern. I became an exercise bulimic. I remember when I first joined OA, I shared on a meeting that one of the ways I manage my weight is before I eat, I do push-ups and squats. And I'm like, and the reactions I saw on the screen, I'm like, oh, not everyone does that before they eat. Like I literally was that deranged that I thought it was like a strategy, and I thought I was like doing the right thing. I was like, this is like a cool strategy. And then I found out about exercise bulimia. I'm like, oh, okay, like there's a name for what I do. Like I force myself to go walk after dinner, and not because it's fun and not because it's enjoyable and not because I like nature, but because I don't want to gain weight. And this isn't all the time. This is at different periods in my life. But anyway, coming back to my mom, struggled with depression, struggled with eating problems. I didn't want to repeat. I didn't want to be anything like my mom, and I became a lot like my mom. In terms of the eating problems, the emotional eating, the overeating. I don't think she ever restricted or binged or purged, but I don't know. And my dad called her names, and I got to witness that, which interestingly, I don't know why, but I agreed with my dad. I'm like, yeah, she is it, da da da, and I'm not going to be anything like her. And then they divorced when I was 11 because my dad left her for someone else. And I remember one time when my mom, I was looking at photo wedding photos of my mom and dad's wedding and their honeymoon. And my mom said, and I was like, dang, mom, like you look good. Like she was wearing these little short shorts in Europe on her honeymoon. And she's like, Charmaine, I wish I liked my body. Then I still thought I was FAT then, and I'm like, what? Like, you look amazing, you know? And she's just like, I've never liked my body. And long story short, she struggled with her weight basically her entire life that I got to witness. And then she got really sick with leukemia, and I remember her being like excited, like about what she could fit into before she died. And I'm like, I will never be like that. That was her most happy thing about getting cancer, was that she got to lose so much weight. And when she died, she was probably like 80 pounds. But anyways, I'll share more about my story with related to that, because I've struggled with body stuff my whole life. I could remember being 8 years old and thinking I was FAT, which I totally wasn't, and it doesn't matter either way, but I was just a normal kid. But my mind was everything, right? Like what I believe about myself is what I am, because that's all that matters. It's not even true, but it's what felt true to me. And I remember doing like my first diet was like 11 years old, like doing one of my mom's diets. And I remember on my way to summer camp when I think I was 14. It was like a 12-hour bus ride, and everyone got off the bus to get their lunch, to buy their lunch, and I stayed on the bus, and I took my water bottle and a little packet of Slim Fast, and I mixed it and I drank it, and that was my lunch. And then when everyone came back on the bus, they're like, "Oh, you didn't have your lunch." I'm like, "Oh yeah, like I ate my packed lunch." Like, no, I didn't. I drank a little tiny strawberry flavored Slim Fast, and I was so proud of myself that I could diet and lose weight. And I've done over 30 different diets. I've gained and lost hundreds of pounds in my life. It was never from health. It was never because I was like, oh, I've like I'm carrying too much weight. My knees hurt. I just want to drop some weight to have more energy and vitality and health. No. Never once. It was always, I'm disgusting. I'm FAT. No one will love me if I don't lose weight. It was always from negativity. It was always from fear. And there's a saying that says fear pushes us
Five
to take
minute
action.
gentle reminder.
Thanks, Gloria. Fear can push us to take action until like vision pulls us. So, but I never got the vision pull me part. I just had the fear push part. But the second part of that is that you can't be driven by fear forever. Eventually, I burn out. Eventually, we all burn out because fear isn't love. Fear isn't from God. Fear isn't from my higher power. Fear is from society and it's from ego and it's from my dad telling me I was never going to be good enough. It's from my best friend saying, Charmaine, you're pretty, but you've got a huge butt and big legs, and no guy's gonna like that. So you better lose some weight. It's all the stories. It's all the words. It's my ballet teacher when I was 11 saying that I had big thighs, and that's not a ballerina's body. And it's every story, and we all have one or 10 or 100. And it's so funny because it's not funny, but I remember my dad commenting that I should have less dessert when I was a little kid, and it was at a Chinese restaurant and there was a dessert buffet and he's like, don't go back for seconds, like you've had enough. And I am like, I remember that happening like it was yesterday, and I was probably 10, and I asked him about it recently and I said, do you remember that? He's like, no, I don't remember that. He's like, I was probably just didn't want you to feel sick, like. And he my dad's very like not emotional. I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm inside just like, oh my God, like this story just like tore me up my whole life. And he's just like, I don't even fucking remember what you're talking about. So it's interesting how I always find it interesting how these stories stick with me. But I'm grateful for 12 steps because now I can like pray for God to remove that and like pray for, or talk about it. And I do think if I talk about it, it helps me release it. And heal it. And so the last couple things I guess about body acceptance is I'm now just like almost 13 weeks abstinent from my compulsive behaviors with food since I came back from relapse on January 3rd. And I'm not at my thinnest body and never will I be again. Never do I want to be again. However, I have more peace and serenity about my body than I've ever had. I would call myself a weigh scale obsessor, a weigh scale addict in recovery. I'd call myself a body obsessor in recovery, body dysmorphic. Like I can look at my body and be like, oh my, I look horrible. And then I could look at the same body on someone else and be like, oh, they look great. Like I'm so my own worst critic, as I think a lot of us are, but
Two
I'm just
minute
grateful.
gentle warning.
Thank you, Gloria. I'm just grateful today that because of the program, I realized that I'm not just a body, and I'm more than my body, and I do say a child of God. That's true for me. And my purpose on this earth isn't to diet until I die, and then still hate my body and get to my deathbed still hating my body. That's not what I want to do in this lifetime. I'm 41 years old. I've spent my lifetime doing that. And I watched my mom do that as long as I knew her for 24 years. And she never got to have peace with her body. So I guess I'll say I'll give glory to my higher power that that body obsession is being removed. It's not completely removed, maybe 80% removed. And I'll keep working on it because I don't want the most interesting thing to about me to be my weight. That's not interesting. I don't want to know your weight. I don't want to know what diet you're on. I don't want to know how, like, I want to know who you are. I want to know what makes you excited about life. There's so much more interesting things to talk about than our weight or our diets. And what's on your plate's none of my business, and what you weigh is none of my business. And I think living up in a body that has energy and vitality and doesn't hurt is nice, is a goal for me. I am wanting to release a little bit of weight because my feet really hurt. And that's not usual for me. So I'm like, I guess that's maybe put too much pressure on my feet. Or maybe I just need to go get some orthotics. I don't know. I'll have to figure that out. But anyways, I love you all. I hope this was helpful. I hope you can accept, maybe work towards some kind of acceptance of your body, because that was my first step. I'll wrap up. I couldn't love my body at first. No. I loathed my body, but I worked towards just neutrality about it and then acceptance of it. And then eventually I liked it and appreciated it and was grateful for it. And now I could say I love my body. And that's not a lie. So it did, but it doesn't, I don't, didn't jump from loathing to love. So there's a few steps in between and they're worth taking. So thanks for letting me share.
Oh.